Hoop nets and set lines. And I think we're going to continue with 18 and 19 too, right? Aren't they all going to be withdrawn, I think?
Chairman Jensen, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, thank you for giving us time on the agenda today. My name's Will Saylor. I'm a Fisheries Program Administrator for Habitat and Access and various other things. Beside me today, offering moral support, is Chief of Fisheries John Lott. We'll get started on 17. First, I want to draw your attention to page 17B, which is just a representation of the gears that we're talking about today. At the top of the page is a drawing of a set line. The set lines can be set various different ways, that's what the gear looks like. Below it are two types of fish traps. One is a wire trap, constructed entirely by metal and can be opened from the back. The other is a more traditional wooden slatted trap. And then, of course, at the bottom is a hoop net that's set so that the mouth of the trap is facing the current, and the current is what keeps the trap open, and then it's anchored in the back. The traps and hoop nets generally are baited with some smelly cheese to attract catfish and rough fish. So going back, Commissioner Chairman Jensen, would you like to address all of the rules at once, or would your preference to be to do them one at a time?
Well, depending, I thought we were going to move these back to another time and remove them today. Now, maybe I misunderstood. If we have to make a motion to reject them, we can, and then bring them up at another time. But I thought that's what we were going
to
do.
I was going to ask you to.
I'll make that motion to reject.
All right. We need a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think our intent was to make a recommendation, a department recommendation, that numbers 6 and 7 be not adopted at this time, but we would certainly like the commission to consider 1 through 5 at this time if they could.
I think my motion was to reject 6 and 7, as I recall.
Okay.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it could be also to reject 1 through 5. It could stay at 1 through 7.
No, I'm saying I was truly thinking 6 and 7.
Well, all right, we can address those first. That will leave us with 1 through 5, which we can come back to.
Then, from my understanding, Mr. Chairman, you would like to discuss number 6 and 7 first, or?
Well, we... Sure. Although I
guess I'm a little confused for what you would.
Yeah, and I got a little bit confused too. But I think what we could do is, I mean, I think if I ask for discussion on 6 and 7, there won't be any. We'll have a vote, and they will be denied. Okay. So, is there any discussion on 6 and 7? If not, all in favor of the motion, which is to deny 6 and 7, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? So 6 and 7 are denied or rejected. That takes us to 1 through 5 on 17, for which we could also have a motion to delay and bring those up later, or we could have other motions.
I will make a motion to deny 1 through 5.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. So 17 is set aside for future discussion, which takes us to 18, right? Public waters.
Yes.
18 is recommendation brought forward by the department to add regulations authorizing the department to be the that the commission has the authority to authorize the use of aeration. We recommend change for proposal. After hearing testimony, we ask you not to take action on this proposal.
So you're asking us to deny this one today. Okay, is there a motion to do that?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Not all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that public waters is denied. That takes us to 19, fish importation.
The fish importation is to allow for a single to allow for a single importation permit from an out-of-state hatchery or source of fish to cover an entire year from their last fish health inspection. This will help reduce paperwork and staff time. Second, to specify and rule which fish species need to be tested for which pathogens of regulatory concern. This will also reduce costs to the private industry and to the game, fish, and parks for having more focused fish health testing. In supporting information, fish health inspections are done yearly at state, federal, and private hatcheries. It is rather burdensome to require a facility to obtain an importation permit for each time they receive fish or eggs from a out-of-state hatchery during the year that the fish health inspection is valid. Allowing an importation permit to be valid for the period of 1 year since the fish health inspection was completed by an approved fish health laboratory and signed by approved fish health professional reduce paperwork and staff time. And second, supporting information is that not all species of fish are susceptible to all pathogens. So testing for pathogens that a species cannot contract is unnecessary and adds cost to the hatcheries or producers by requiring quite expensive laboratory work and testing. It doesn't make sense to have to test trout for a warm water fish pathogen that the trout could not possibly contract.
Okay, is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? So 19 passes. We have to do 20, I think, today. We need to do 22. I'm not sure 21 is in that category. I mean, we can keep going, but don't we have to quit? And I don't mean that as a bad thing. I mean, but if we have to quit at 5:30 because the live streaming is done, you know, we're going to have to do some priorities, and I should quit talking. So let's go to 20 and do aquatic invasive species.
So the aquatic invasive species one is quite simple. There's two things we have, spiny water flea, round goby, white perch. We want to add them to the aquatic invasive species list in South Dakota. These species have spread from the Great Lakes to multiple waters in Minnesota. They cause major problems with those old plankton communities. And they are very close to our borders. So,
Will, isn't it true to say we're doing here what we did by emergency rule in July?
Yes.
That emergency rule expires, so we're just now making this a permanent rule.
That is correct.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Sorry, but I'm trying to get
Understood.
Through this by 5:30. Thank you. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Public radio said they could go a little longer.
Oh, okay, good.
You don't have to do it
quite so fast. All right, so we got aquatic invasive species done. Can we do park fees next, Scott?
Afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, Secretary Hepler, Scott Simpson, Division Director for Parks and Recreation. If you want to go through those park fees that quickly, we can surely do that too.
However you want to do it, we have more time, I guess. So.
No, I first of all, thank Kevin for carrying the ball for me last month. I was at a conference in Arkansas and wasn't able to be here for the proposal portion of things, but no changes from proposal, but I guess just for the record, like to run through it real quick and talk about what those fees are, and then maybe a little bit of where the fees are intended to go here in the future. Number one on the finalization sheet, you will see that we're proposing that the annual license go up by $6 to $36. Second vehicle up $3. That would they obviously go together, increasing that to $18. Transferable license, increase that to $80. The daily fee going from $6 to $8. And the CSP motorcycle 7-day, increasing that to $20. And ultimately making every vehicle that comes into Custer State Park $20. So right now that we distinguish between motorcycles and cars, and what we're saying is that a vehicle is a vehicle. And we charge $20 for that opportunity. As far as camping fees go, we have different levels of the fees represent. The prime would be a campground that is filled 90% from Memorial Day to Labor Day on Friday and Saturday nights. We would propose to increase that to $26 from $21. Preferred campgrounds, same criteria, but an 80% fill rate on over those dates. We'd increase that from $19 to $23. Modern campgrounds increase from $17 to $20. Basic equestrian campgrounds from $13 to $18. Semi-modern equestrian campgrounds outside of Custer State Park to $26. The modern campgrounds within the park, move them from $25 to $30. The equestrian campground in the park down French Creek, move that from $35 to $40. CSP camping cabins and all other camping cabins, make them same across the board. Right now they're $45 in any other park outside of Custer and $50 in the park, and we would just make those $55 across the board. And final, as it relates back to camping, is increase the firewood from $5 to $6. That obviously covers a bulk of the fees. We've got a couple other things that we would propose to increase at this time as well. As I say that, the first one is to actually reduce a fee. Remove the group lodge designation at Mina Lake from that's currently designated at $205 and make that a modern cabin designation of $150. We aren't exactly getting the use that we would like to see out of that particular lodge, and we think that by designated as a modern cabin, we'd likely see more nights fill, and we think that that's the appropriate fee. We currently have, when folks drive into the park and haven't paid the daily fee, we write them what we call an unattended, and right now that's a $10 fee, and they can go back and they can apply that towards an annual license if they would like. If we make the daily fee $8, but the unattended is only $10, we feel like we're maybe not providing enough incentive for people to actually buy the license. And so we'd propose to move that to $15. And finally, number four, we'd like to create an opportunity that isn't available right now in some places where we would reduce the fee for tent-only camping. In some areas that we can designate only tents in certain areas, we would set that fee at $15. Right now, it is governed by the campground price. As I mentioned, if it's in a prime campground, it would be, you know, without electricity. Currently, we'd be charging them $17. That number would be going to $22, and we feel like that would be it's not an area that we want to increase the fee. So we would set that as a $15 base minimum for those folks that choose to tent camp in those designated areas. That covers the fee increases real quick. What I guess I'd like to give you the justification. I know Kevin visited about it last month a little bit, but you know, this isn't what I wanted to do the first few months that I was in this position, is come forward with a fee increase. I understand that fee increases are going to impact our users. It's also going to probably reduce our use. You know, there's going to be some folks that just say, you know what, I'm not going to pay those fees. I'm not going to use the park. I don't think it'll be a vast majority, but there will definitely be some. So, I mean, don't take these decisions lightly. There's a reason for us coming forward with this. As we've identified our list of, we go through our one-year plans, our three-year plans, our five-year plans, we've got a maintenance list out there that is well beyond our means to keep up our facilities and provide the experience that we want to provide in our state parks and rec areas. And we really need to start addressing that. Along with that, we have had some flooding issues that we know we need to take care of, and they've added to that list. And in some cases, flooding impacts have supplanted some planned maintenance now we've got to address an urgent need, and we continue to push that maintenance list even further down the road. We need to get caught up a little bit. And I think that's the main reason that we're coming forward with these fees, is we've got things that we need to do, and if we don't do them right now, it is going to add to the cost of those renovations, those upgrades, those just general maintenance kind of things. We've got roads that we've got millions and millions of dollars of roads that need attention. We've got structures that need attention, and we've been putting them off, and there's no doubt about that. And now, we kind of went through our budgeting process for FY21. We looked at that, and in order to get some of these things accomplished, we were willing to cut some things out and make sure that things were taken, so we could get even further down our list. What these fee increases allow us to do is to not reduce some of those maintenance items. It allows us to continue to address that need, and we'll be able to keep chugging forward. It doesn't fix our problem. I don't think that as we've looked at this and say, hey, this is potentially $3 million a year, it isn't going to fix our maintenance requirements. It isn't going to fix our flooding requirements or obligations. We've still got a long ways to go. But what we have done is we've looked at our operations. We're holding those steady. We aren't showing no increases through the end of fiscal year 21. And we're only looking at applying these fees towards those projects, towards those maintenance things, towards those flood damaged things. That's what these fees are going towards. And, we talk about, is this a one-year kind of thing? What do you do with that $3 million? Yep, we're going to put them into projects in FY21. We're going to put them into projects in FY22. And we're going to put them into projects in FY23. And as Secretary Hepler knows, as he's seen the list, we're still not going to get to the end of those projects. We are not going to get caught up with this increase. But it is going to... It's going to keep us moving towards that goal of getting there. A couple of years from now, maybe things change a little bit. Maybe we don't have the spring that we had and the flood damage that we had, and we can do some things that are going to increase our day use, and we can do some things that are going to increase our camping numbers, and it'll maybe be even more revenue where we can get further down that list of items. But right now, this is what we're looking at to just kind of keep us where we hope, where we need to be, where we need to be moving forward with those routine maintenance and repairs addressing that flood damage and just keep moving forward. So that's the plan for the money. We've got the list of projects. We've reached out to the public and told them that this is where we're going to use this. I realize we need to get a little more detailed with that. We need to be able to tell them, hey, these are A, B, and C. This is what we're going to do. But that list of projects for the $3 million is quite extensive. So,
Questions, comments? Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you. Commissioner Boyd here. I happen to think South Dakota's park system is exceptional. So there's great value for the dollars there, but we also need to be mindful to not price people out of the experience. I think we've addressed or talked about this before, but could you just remind us if our prices are competitive with surrounding areas?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Commissioner Boyd, I actually remembered to bring it up with me. I figured we were going to be talking about that. So, yeah, I think we're right in the ballpark. I think that there's no question that these increases move us towards an upper end. But right now, an annual resident license in Nebraska is $35. An annual resident license in North Dakota is $35. In Wyoming, it's $33. In South Dakota right now, it's $30. And we're moving to $36. So, yeah, we probably move above them at this point, but it isn't way beyond them. And, every state's different as well. I mean, what they provide, the experience they provide, the facilities they provide, I'll put our operation, our folks up against anybody in the surrounding states.
Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. I see I've known that the Custer State motorcycle license or pass is doubled, which I got no problem with it. But if somebody, like say they're in Sioux Falls, they come out, get the day pass for Custer State Park, then want to drive through Palisades later, then the 7 days is up. Right. Is there a way, would it be unreasonable to make that a yearly pass?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Locken, they would always have the opportunity to buy the yearly pass. So I guess if that's what the thought process was, is that we're going to go to Custer State Park for a day, but we're also going to go to Palisades for a day, and we might go someplace else for a day, that I would encourage them to buy that annual license.
And that would be?
$36.
$36.
Yeah. Correct. But yeah, the 7 days in Custer State Park, $20. Custer State Park is primarily, I believe the numbers are real close to 80% non-residents. Mm-hmm. Those folks are there for a few days. $20 seems about right. I think that's what our conversation is. Really, right now, a vehicle costs you $20. So we aren't changing that part of it. It is only if you bring a motorcycle into the park that we'd be raising that fee from $10 to $20. So we're looking at a vehicle as a vehicle. And I think that's the way we're looking at it.
Other questions, comments? Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. Scott, it was quite refreshing to read the comments on this issue. I thought it was great. There were a lot of people that made some really good comments about our park and said how much they like it. And I think it's refreshing to see that people really support our parks and what we're doing. So if you can keep this list of projects on the front burner and let people know what we're doing with it, I think we've got a lot of support out there to do this. Let them know. Keep it public, and I think we're going to have a lot of support. So I think that this will pass, and I think it should.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips, I absolutely agree with you. And that's what I got out of the comments, too, was, yep, we're willing to spend some more money. It wasn't unanimous. That was obvious, but I can't imagine any fee package that would be. But they said, yeah, we're willing to support this, but we're going to support it knowing that it's going towards parks, and it's going towards maintaining that infrastructure and maintaining that experience and making sure that services aren't, getting dated and that we aren't impacting their experience. That's what our job is. We I spoke to my folks this week. We're about creating memories, and we don't want to do something that's going to impact that. And we'll make sure that we tell that story the way that needs to be get told. So thank you for that.
You know, and this year we've had weather and water and everything that we all know about, but if you go back, at least since I've been on the commission, which is 6-7 years now, I mean, every year we were being told about record performance by Parks. I mean, Parks has performed very well, excellent. And so they've been doing it more than their share, really, to try to keep up with all these expenses and maintenance. And it's really been impressive through the years how Parks has done. And so we'll get past this hiccup, and then it'll go right back to that. I'm sure that's true because it is supported by the state of South Dakota. And the department does a great job. I mean, the Parks Department does terrific work.
The only thing that's changed is we brought Roebling in, and I assume that must be the problem. I certainly can't take any of the blame for it, but no, yeah, it's definitely been a road bump, a hiccup for us. It's out of our control, and I would tell you too, and I've told everyone this that'll listen to me, that what we're projecting that $3 million on is what we think we can do next spring, next fall. We're set up that if we get any sort of winter, that we are going to be dealing with a lot of issues next spring. We're going with record high water levels, as many of you know, and even just an average spring is going to put some pressure on us. We've got entrance roads that are underwater right now. Got an update here not too long ago about the Missouri River and what they've got going on there. And we had campgrounds that went underwater a couple of different times this year for extended periods of time, and entrance roads that we just had to shut down a couple weeks ago. We were shutting down state parks again in September because of flooding. I've never seen that before. I don't know if anybody's seen that before, but snow or spring moisture is going to put us in a bad spot again next year. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and we're hoping for some Mother Nature to cooperate with us a little bit. So, I know my folks could certainly use a break. They've done yeoman's work all summer long.
Well, that's true, and we should talk about that just briefly too, because we signed a letter today thanking everybody at the department for all they've done given the water issues and the flooding issues, because everybody's worked way above and beyond, and they've been terrific, and we all appreciate it very much.
Yeah, exceptional group.
Yep,
absolutely.
So our Commissioner Phillips,
one more comment. Commissioner Jensen, you know, we just got done with an epic event out in Custer State Park, and I think now's as good a time to bring that up, that everything went off perfect, and congratulations to everybody in the park system for pulling off a very, very successful event, very impressive. I was there, I had a chance to ride for the second time, and it's well run, and those folks know what they're doing.
Yep.
Good job, everybody.
Thank you, Commissioner. You know, that's one of those things that draws a lot of attention. At the same time, we've got all kinds of different events that happen throughout the park system every weekend, and they're run just as well. This one's just on a little bigger magnitude, and I had the chance to see it for the first time. It was a well-oiled machine, but I also saw Matt Snyder and the rest of the folks going out at 3:30 in the morning to start moving vehicles around and getting things ready to go, and he was there the next day when I was getting ready to leave and emptying garbage cans and everything else. I mean, it is a lot of work for those folks, and they have got it dialed in. And you know, Matt and his crew get the credit for the roundup, but the rest of these guys sit in the back of the room. They've all got a event or multiple events that they pull off just as well. And I appreciate what you're saying, Commissioner Phillips. These guys are great. Their staffs are great.
So, any more discussion, or we're going to need a motion to approve the proposed fee increases? Any more discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
So how about we do this? If we have a few more minutes, why don't we do 24, that budget adjustment? That then will leave... Oh, we got to do this first. So we denied the petition earlier. Now we have resolution 19-27, which says we denied it and sets out the reasons for it. So we'll need a motion to approve resolution 19-27.
So moved.
Is there a second? And any discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution 19-27 passes. So let's do 24, budget adjustment for GPA equipment. Then if we, then we'll just go until public radio tells me that we can't go any longer. Because then we just have mountain plan adoption, which I suppose could wait, and John's rules review, and that could wait, not that I'm suggesting it, but I mean, at least we then we have the key things done, right?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I may, on the GP or the budget adjustment for GPA, was going to have Paul Coughlin do a presentation, but he had to run back to Pierre, and he's not here. So we could do one or two things. There's a short presentation that he was going to provide. We were going to talk about it and ask for action, or I could pinch hit, talk about it, and have you take action right now instead of holding it off tomorrow morning.
Why don't you pinch hit, give us the presentation, then we'll vote. And I mean, we're doing this because two of our commissioners have to leave tomorrow personal reasons that I mean they just have to be gone.
How about I pinch hit as a verbal conversation and explain what it is and ask for your approval then? How's
That'd
that?
Be perfect. Thank
All
you.
All right. We'll improvise. So, number 24 on the budget adjustment for GPA equipment. Again, those listening, Tom Kirschman from the Wildlife Division. I'm going to back you up just a little bit. You remember the presentations we have provided to you as the commission on the GPA assessment that we did of all the game production areas across the state of South Dakota back in 2018. And what that was looking at all of our game production areas, seeing the current status of the habitat, and our staff went ahead and evaluated them and ranked them out, looking at what the habitat is now and what it would take to take them to the next level. We did that for all of the game production areas across the state. And when all is said and done, they looked at different pieces from, what was needed for habitat enhancements, what was needed for new habitat, what was needed for new access components, what was needed for enhanced access on the GPAs. With that assessment, they identified what type of personnel or capacity would be needed to get those GPAs to the next level, what type of equipment would be needed for doing those same things, and just simply the dollar resources to do the on-the-ground planting, the grassland plantings, the woody habitat, the wetland restoration, all those different types of things, all the roads and trails from an access standpoint. So as we've been going through that assessment, and now we're in the implementation stage, obviously, this last spring, or during the last fiscal year, we did do a small list of equipment purchases through the of identified items through the GPA assessment that we did through our normal capital assets dollars that we looked at available at the end of the last fiscal year. What we then went back and asked the regions to look again at all that GPA assessment and all those priority items and put a second list together of equipment needs that are needed for us to do the work on the ground for our staff that we have out there. And so the regions went back and did an exercise through that, identified key pieces of equipment and support trucks to do that work, i.e., for example, dually trucks to pull the big gooseneck trailers, to haul the equipment to go to the GPAs, fire equipment, water tanks, those things. A lot of the key pieces of equipment that we identified were drills, planters, burning equipment. There were a few different size tractors in there. And again, it sounds interesting when we say tractors, but it's a major piece of equipment that we use for GPA enhancements, from plantings to enhancements to mowing, weed control. Those of you that are on the farm, you know exactly how many different uses that particular implement is used for. So we did that, and they also identified the opportunity, looking at this from a standpoint of replacing some of the needed trucks that need to be replaced in our fleet, and specifically here talking about those that support habitat projects on game production areas. In many cases, we do get some of those bigger, more heavy-duty type trucks, again, to pull those trailers, those implements. As you well know, a regular half-ton truck in most cases is not going to do that. So they identified some of those things as well. When we collectively put that all together from the four regions,
from this particular effort and prioritization came to right about $1.66 million. So we're looking at this. What we bring forward to you is an actual budget adjustment, a one-time budget adjustment authority to move forward with for the opportunity to obtain and purchase those pieces of equipment. Now, in particular, the important part of this discussion is the funding sources and the funding to acquire these pieces of equipment, as we've had a lot of discussions about budgets and dollars and where things stand. Our intent and our thought of moving forward with this is the ability to do it, and we have the ability to do it with all federal dollars and no license dollars. Obviously, we've talked about before in the game production and management, we use Pittman Robertson funds or PR dollars. We have a land management grant that's part of that on an annual basis. That is our operation and maintenance, and that's enhancements, improvements. We control all of those different things that we do on game production areas across the state. So we have the ability to obtain these pieces of equipment and support trucks to go with it at the tone of $1.66 million using all federal dollars to do so. And the positive point of that, obviously, is that we are not having to dip into the game fund to use license dollars to support those equipment needs to move forward to do those habitat enhancements. So that's the overall approach, what we're coming and bringing forward to you. Again, this is tied directly to the GPA assessment that we concluded. That was a high priority of ours of evaluating, looking at what we have and what do we need to do on our properties. And these pieces of implements and equipment and support trucks that we talk about here are going to help us in that opportunity to further enhance and do that implementation of that assessment on game production areas. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll try to answer any questions that you may have or provide any more details if a commissioner has such a question.
Questions? Comments? So what, at the end of the discussion here, we're going to need a motion to approve resolution 19-26.
Right? Correct. In your commission book is that resolution, Mr. Chair, and it just briefly states about this is all tied to the GPA assessment. We identified those key sources. We're looking at the one-time budget authority adjustment to proceed with using federal dollars to obtain these pieces of equipment. One other thing that I will share with you, given the approval to move forward with this, we will do this as similar to a special project budget where it'll be basically housed in the administrative budget under the like the director's budget. It'll all be there. We can track it, follow it, know all the expenditures, where those pieces of equipment are and in what regions, and it'll just be easier for us to track. So, but yes, we would ask for your adoption of resolution 19-26.
Is there a motion to do that?
I move to adopt.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor of passing resolution 19-26, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So it passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate that, and the commissioners.
So you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems then we've covered what we really need to. We have five commissioners tomorrow, so we can still undertake business, and we could, seems like the mountain lion plan could easily be handled by that group of five, along with, John, your presentation. So we can probably quit for the day and allow the streaming to end and be done for the day. But is that accurate? Okay, so let's start at 8 in the morning. And
Chairman?
Or yes, Commissioner Beese.
What's on the mountain lion plan? What's the discussion on that for tomorrow?
Well, it's the plan itself as opposed to the season. Today we did the season, and this it's the management plan that we're going to talk about tomorrow.
It would be the ask of the commission to adopt the revise or the revision of the mountain lion management plan. Chad had talked about it last month. We were still incorporating some of the comments that we got from the public. He completed that, sent that all to you. You have that. And it's more of the question of and asking for your adoption of the mountain lion management plan moving forward.
Which in many ways is a continuation of the one that's been in place
that
for
is
quite
correct.
Some time.
Yep, there was some updates and some formats, some updated information in there. The biggest component obviously as we talked about, as we
did last month is that population objective, making that slight adjustment there. But for the most part, it's a continuation of the mountain lion management plan moving into the future.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? If not, we are adjourned till 8 in the morning, and thank you, Public Radio, for hanging in there with us.